How about the Mr. just passed the notes we've preached in the last few weeks? How about them? They've been fantastic, haven't they? On hope. We all need a bit of hope. I like your shirt, Chad. What do you think about Chad's shirt? It's alright. No, it's not bad. Probably got it from the same place as me, by the looks of it.
Target.
Mine was from Cotton On. Confession to my Cotton On shirt. But how about those messages, Hebrews, you've been preaching from? I just love that scripture. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. I just think that's like, Dave's been preaching on this last couple of weeks, and I've just actually found a bit more hope in the last few weeks, just by Dave just preaching about hope the last few weeks. And I've found it easier to step into God's inner sanctuary just because I've had more hope. So
it's
encouraging us to continue to grab a hold of that hope.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm going to preach hopefully a shortish message, because we've got a big feast up the back, and I just want as much fellowship as possible, and let's just all eat and have fun. But the title of my message tonight is Holding to Hope in Hardship. So I'm keeping on this hope thing just because I think we're going places with it. Most of the scripture I'm preaching from is from the New Living Translation, and I'm going to be saying a fair few scriptures, so don't get worried if you miss them. The sermons are online, so you can always just download it later and quote what I'm talking about later. But you can buy a CD, go Gen 1999. That doesn't make any sense at all. Alright, you won, me zero. Let's pray anyway. Let's get into this. God, we just thank you. I just pray that your word would speak to us all tonight, God. I pray your word would cut through our situations and circumstances and speak straight to our hearts. Holy Spirit, we just pray you would lead us tonight, because we need your guidance. We need more of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I've been reading the Bible lately, which is probably a good thing. Probably a good thing seeing up here preaching, because it'd be a bit of a worry if I came up here and hadn't been reading it or praying at all, because that would probably, probably wouldn't work so well. But anyway, I've been reading a lot out of Psalms and Romans at the moment, just in my personal studies, but in particular I've been reading out of one Psalm, which is Psalm 119. So for all you people that sort of know the Bible a little bit, you probably know it's the longest psalm in the Bible. It's 176 verses of just goodness. And I just love it. It's such a great psalm to study. If you haven't studied it, I really just encourage you. It's broken into little chunks just to go through it one day at a time. It's just really, really cool. But anyway, I started reading these 176 verses, and I started to pick up how many times a psalmist starts talking about honouring or following or delighting or living or obeying or putting his hope in either God's word or his instructions or his decrees or his laws or his commandments or things like that. What God says he's putting his trust or hope in or wants to live by, sort of thing. I started counting for a bit, and I stopped because every second verse was sort of about that, and I couldn't really be bothered reading through all of it. So I got to 100, and about 50 of them were on that sort of theme. So we'll say that 90-ish verses are on that theme of the psalmist saying, hey, I want to honour you, God, and live by what you say. And I thought that was really cool, because you read through that psalm and you start to get a feeling of where the psalmist has placed his hope. In verse 61, I'm just going to read through a few verses from it. Verse 61, it says, I'm firmly anchored to your instructions. I love that, because it sort of goes on to the Hebrews one that Pastor Day was preaching. So I found that and I was like, oh, I've got to put that in my sermon. So verse 61, I'm firmly anchored to your instructions. Verse 71, my suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees. Verse 74 says, I've put my hope in your word. Verse 83 says, I'm shriveled like a wine skin in the smoke, but I've not forgotten to obey your decrees. Verse 87 says, they almost finished me off, but I refuse to abandon your commandments. Verse 92 says, if your instructions hadn't sustained me with joy, I would have died in my misery. And then back to 81, it says the same as 74. It says, I've put my hope in your word.
It's good.
The psalmist had a revelation of where he should place his hope. His hope was in the Lord's faithfulness. His hope was in the promises of God. His hope was in the truthfulness and longevity of God's commandments. His hope was not dictated by the circumstances or by the situations. His hope didn't change with the condition of his relationships or condition of what was going on during the week. No, his hope was unwavering, it was untainted, it was unshakable, it was unmovable. He had a hope that could not be moved because he was anchored to it. And that hope would endure, for it was a strong and trustworthy anchor for him. And his hope was in the Word of God.
Yeah. Very good.
That's a good thing. His hope was in the Word of God. So where have you guys placed your hope tonight? Where is your hope being placed? You see, like I said, the Psalms have a revelation of this, of God's faithfulness, and that God's promises are true, and that the Bible is true. And because of that, he was saying, even though I feel like a wineskin, which is meant to be real good, and you feel wine of it, but when you put it in your smoke, it shrivels up and turns into scum. He was saying, even though I feel like that, your word says something different, so I'm going to keep on walking.
Yeah, that's right.
He said, even though, what was one of the other ones there? Even though I almost feel like I'm finished off, I refuse to abandon your commands.
That's right.
Yeah.
I was in misery, but it was joy I found in my Bible, in the Word, in your commands. I found joy in it, and that sustained me. And because of that, his hope was in the Word of God, and he was trying to live according to that, which, I just wish I could live a bit more according to that at times. In the Proverbs, in the NIV, it says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Or in the NLT, in Proverbs 29:8, it says, when poor people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. How often do we pick up the Word of God and read the promises God has given us and then just take them straight to heart and say to ourselves, well, it's written here. God gave it to me, I believe it. How often do we do that? I just like, is Jeremiah about? He's disappeared. Oh, I was going to have him come up and preach tonight. Oh, I got it. I'm going to have to... I was down in kids' church this morning, and it was awesome fun because kids' church is awesome.
Yeah.
But we're doing a study down there similar to what's going on up here. What we preach up here, we take down there because we figure if it's good enough for you guys, it's good enough for the kids, or one way or the other. But we've been talking about hope up here. So down in kids' church, we've been talking about hope as well. And we were doing a memory verse today from Hebrews 10:23, which says, I was going to get Jeremiah to speak this because we were reciting it and doing little competitions about it, and he knew it off by heart, this little kid, and I gathered it, got one of them to come up here and say it for me. But now I've got to say it, relax. So Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. But God can be trusted to keep his promise.
Yeah.
God can be trusted to keep his promise. He's got lots of promises for us, and it says he can be trusted for us because he keeps his word.
Wow.
How awesome is that?
Yeah.
I've just got, and here's just a few promises. I'm just cutting just even, not even the tip of the iceberg, but just a few promises I've got down here. Psalm 18:30 says, God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for those who look to him for protection. So he's our protection if we look to him. There's a promise from God. In Matthew 6:33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be put onto you, or taken onto you. Meaning, if you seek first him and his glory, he's going to be your provider and give you everything you need. In Philippians 4, verse 6 to 8, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ.
That's good.
He is our source of peace.
Yeah.
In Romans, it says, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. So if we just love God, it says all things are going to work together for our good.
Yeah.
So even if like Mel came and said, things are going rubbish, things are going bad, and you start exalting the Lord and say, I love you, even though it may not look like it from your perspective that all things are working together for your good, it says in the Word, which the promises are true, if I love him, all those things are going to work together for my good. What a promise. What a promise. And my personal favourite I found in Psalm 37, there's lots of other ones, like as we're singing, one of them said, we're conquerors and co-heirs with Christ. Well, that's a promise from God that we're victorious in him. But this one's one of my personal favourites. In Psalm 37, verses 3 to 5, it says, trust in the Lord and do good, then you'll live safely in the land and prosper.
Yeah,
take delight in the Lord, and he will give you all your heart desires.
Yeah.
And commit everything you do to the Lord and trust in him, and he will help you. But three little simple things. If we trust in Him and do good, we're going to live safely and prosper.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty sweet to me. If we take delight in Him, He'll give us everything that we our hearts desire and long for.
Yeah.
And if we commit everything we do to Him and trust in Him again, He will help you. Just how awesome is that, having God help you? He created everything. Through Him, all things were made for His glory. He made the stars in the sky. He made the sun. He made the earth. The earth is His footstool. Yet it says if we commit everything we do to Him and trust in Him, He will help us.
Yeah.
I don't think, I could not think of anyone I would want helping me more than the God of the universe on my side. Like, seriously, I love catching up with Dave on Fridays, and I think that's a good thing because he helps me and I trust him. But I don't really think he could do as much as God Almighty who made the earth.
No, I don't think so.
Your life group leader might be a good fella and he might help you through things occasionally. Or your parents might be really good to you at times. But I just don't know if they're going to be able to do what the King of the universe can do.
That's right.
But if we trust in Him and commit everything we do to Him, it says He'll help us.
Yeah.
Praise the God for that. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? Like, pretty simple revelation, but like,
good.
Come on, like, I think that's just
awesome.
Great. Like I was saying, like the title of this message is Holding the Hope in Hardship, and I was talking about a few of those things, but one thing I was thinking about today was, what's the difference between faith and hope? Like, I think Pastor Dave was preaching from Corinthians this morning, right? Or I said, someone said that you were preaching from faith, hope, and love.
Yeah,
the greatest of these is love.
Yep.
But like, really, like, I know when I was younger, I probably think, what's the difference between faith and hope? Like you got faith in something, we hope for it. Like, isn't that really the same thing? Maybe this one's a little bit lesser or something. I don't know, but I sort of came just to a little conclusion. You know, faith is our avenue to salvation. It is our conviction, our faith that saves us when we accept Jesus. It's our faith in Him that saves us. Or hope, on the other hand, a lot of the scriptures I talk about when we're talking about hope and stuff, is the thing that sustains us.
Yeah.
Faith is what gets you there first. But then once you've crossed that starting line, you've got to hope.
Yeah.
You've got to start hoping, God. You've got to start saying, God, I trust Your word. I hope, and I know it's true. I know it's true. So I lay my hope in Your word because I know Your promises are true.
Yeah.
In Psalm 42, verse 5, and Psalm 42, verse 11, and Psalm 43, verse 5, it says this. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I'll put my hope in God. I'll praise Him again, my Saviour and my God. So three verses that say the exact same thing about 10 verses apart from each other. Look, I think God tries to put a point across. I've said this before. When something is bang, 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 it's the exact same thing a lot of times in a row in the Bible. I really think God tries to get a point across in those times.
Yeah, true.
And in this occasion, it says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I'll put my hope in God. I'll praise Him again, my Saviour and my God. You know, this psalmist here was in a time of hardship, in a time where things seemed to be coming down on him, and he said, my heart's sad. But, you know, it doesn't matter about that, because I put my hope in God.
Yeah.
And I'll praise Him again and again, because He's my Saviour.
Yeah.
And He's my God. You know, hope in God will sustain you. God's plans are for you to prosper you. We've already touched on that a little bit.
Yeah.
But God also promised us if we want to follow Him, there will be difficulties at times. He promises there will be trials.
Yeah.
So if you've prayed in the past, God, I want Your will in my life, not my own, and then all of a sudden you found yourself in some hard circumstances, you're probably right in the middle of God's will.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, because in Hebrews 2 it says, Christ was made perfect through His suffering. And likewise, He said, follow me and take up your cross. So if you find yourself in a moment of hardship at the moment, in the past you've prayed prayers like, God, Your will, not my will. I don't want my will because my will is rubbish, God. I want Your will. I want to go where You want me to go, Lord. And if you've prayed that in the past, and now you find that everything's coming down upon you, and you just feel like you can't bear it, and you're saying, God, if things don't get better, I'm just going to quit. Then, well, you're probably right in the middle of God's will, so don't pray those type of prayers because you're right where God, where you wanted to be 6 months ago because God wants to refine you.
Yeah, good.
God wants to strengthen you.
Yeah.
God doesn't want you to be the same as you were 6 months ago. He wants to push you through those things so you come out the other side 10 times better than what you came through from that side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
praying prayers like, God, please get me out of this. Reflect on the promises of God and start thanking Him. Start thanking Him that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yeah. It's good.
Very good. Yeah, that's good.
That He is bigger than all things. You know, just place your trust in Him. As I said, if you commit everything you do to Him and trust in Him, He will help you.
Yeah.
So hold firm to Him and hold strong to the revelation you've received.
Yeah.
And you will be refined. It will be hard. But like football. I love football. Football's awesome. And like this week has just been one of the best weeks of footy ever. Because every game, about three or four of them have come down to about one kick. Two of them after the siren. Last week we had a game like that as well. It was Hawks Geelong. Great match. Jimmy Bartel snaps his post, but then 30 seconds later gets another shot and wins it for the Cats. I prefer the Hawks than the Cats, but I thought it was a real good game. But the point being is, you know, they're the games you enjoy the most. You don't like the ones that get blown out of the water. Like, the games that you enjoy the most, or even when I played, the games I enjoyed the most were the ones that were out of the hard slog. And then you were like, the entire game, you're just like, I can't be bothered doing this anymore, but you run into the pack and get hammered and try to pick up the ball and hand pass it to someone, and then you get tackled. And like, those games were hard and hard and hard and hard, but like, they were the most rewarding at the same time. Because at the end of the game, if you won, you were just like, like, you just absolutely loved it. You'd go off the show. But guess what? Christ has already won the major thing. Like, that's just football.
Yeah,
Christ
it's
died.
Football.
But yeah.
It's just football.
It is just football. I love footy. I love it with a passion, but comparative to Jesus and what He has done, He died and rose again.
Compared to Jesus. Okay.
Security, can you please take your flag? Scored her out of the building. She's annoying me. Well, Simon, you're the head of the house, aren't you, mate? I'm not looking forward to the next youth leaders meeting, because both those guys will be there and I'll probably get Barry Hall. But yeah, the point being, like those tough hard slogs, like you may feel like you're in a tough hard slog at the moment, but the game's already won. Christ has won the victory. He died. He conquered what you're suffering or going through. And He rose again and said, you are now co-heirs and conquered. Okay, that with Christ. So firm on this promise I'll stand. So if you feel like you're going through a hard slog, don't worry. Well, do worry about it, but lift it up. Like I said in Philippians 4:6-8, don't be anxious about it or worrying about it, but take that petition to God and the peace will hit you.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Good,
Dan. Fantastic. So, you know, you've won it already. So just hang in there.
Yeah.
Don't pull out. Don't give in.
Yeah.
If you're going through trials and problems, like I said, you're probably right in the middle of God's will.
Yeah.
The worst thing you can do is step back and stop reading the Bible and stop fellowshipping and going, no, it's so hard, I don't want to do that. That's the worst thing that you can do. That's a stupid thing to do, right? Because I read this and it says don't do that, and I think, well, it says it's unwise to do that, and a lot of the time it says a fool will do something like that. So if the Bible says a fool does that, then you don't want to do it because it means you're a fool if you do that. that sort of, you know, it's 1 + 1 = 2 sort of stuff. So do not stop reading your Bible, do not stop fellowshipping, do not stop praying, do not step back from what's going on if you're in trials and in pressure at that time. Take it to God and commit it to Him and trust in Him. Get other people around you. Get godly people around you. Pick up the Word of God and continue reading it and saying, God, I believe this, not this circumstance. I trust in You.
Yeah.
And just keep on praying to Him and you will overcome.
Right, man.
So, guys, I've been working down a vineyard the last few weeks. Change the topic. And I just love it. It's so much fun. I've been doing lots of odd jobs, like dragging and tying down wires and clipping up water pipes and putting up vine guards and pruning and tying down stuff. And like a lot of the time, as I was writing this, I was I'm just going to grab my plant. I bought a shrubbery. Yeah, who said that one for pipe and skip? A shrubbery! I bought some secateurs. I would have bought a vine, but I don't think Darren, my uncle, would have appreciated it if I chopped down a vine and just to come here and use it for a demonstration. But this plant here, it's not a vine, but it's got sort of the same sort of, like that's the main root and then a couple of branches sort of thing, and that's sort of the nice green foliage. So this is my favourite. You can buy it after the thing. I have them on sale for $12.95 plus GST, of course. But as I was working, I was having a few thoughts and just meditating on some of the stuff that I was reading. Like, I've been quoting a lot of stuff out of Psalms and Romans. A lot of the stuff about vineyards and stuff, like, Jesus used a lot of parables about it because it was really big at the time. It's probably not as big at this time, but I've been down doing that stuff, so it sort of really speaks to me. So I hope that some of this stuff that I've been meditating and reflecting on, I can pass on to you guys. In John 15, verse 1, Jesus said, "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener." Not Peter Cundall. He's the gardener. So Christ is the vine, or in vineyard sort of terms, he's the root stock. He's the main big shoot sort of thing. And Father God, he's the man of the secateurs, the glorious secateurs. So we Christians, though, we're the little branches that haven't been grafted on in this occasion, but just imagine these ones have all been grafted on. We're the grafted on vines. And there was one block of vineyard that we've been at the last few weeks that had some problems with its watering system. So all the vines, like some of them looked really good, but because the water flow had been a bit weird, they looked good, but they weren't to the specifications, big word, that Darren, the gardener, would have liked. So what we had to do would have seemed pretty savage. We had to prune them and chop them all back. We had to go, well, chop them off if we don't want them there. Chop that off. That looks really good though. It's a really big one. No, we don't want that though. And we'll chop that one off. And we'll chop that off. Now that looks really vicious, doesn't it? You'd say, hey, that's really good growth though. Like, all that stuff was really good. But we have to do some serious pruning and cutting back on the massive bits of growth on the vine to reshape it, because so if we didn't chop it back, next year the branches, they would have produced fruit, but they would have produced lots of small little clusters all over the place, and the fruit wouldn't have been of that very good quality. So it would have been doing stuff, but it wouldn't have been of the best quality. While instead we trimmed everything back and made it nice, and so there was only just a few buds, so that during spring those buds could stretch out, grab hold of the wires that they're tied to, and then produce really good big bunches of fruit.
Right.
Good, Dan. Good. So, though it looked savage at the time and seemed like the vine had been hard done by it almost, it was necessary if we wanted to produce good wine and produce good grapes and good fruit.
Great. Yeah.
To chop all that back just to leave it to this nice little small bit. Jed, you want to come up here and clean some garden stuff?
Good on you, Jed.
Give it up for Jed. It's a little bit. It was his birthday the other day as well.
Yeah,
it was his birthday party on Friday. Tomorrow it's his birthday, so we're going to have a bowl of soup and put a candle in it and sing him happy birthday. It'll be good fun. But you can keep that as another birthday present for you. It's okay, you've chopped up bits of what is that plant, Mum? I chopped it off my mum's tree and she didn't even know. It's a wattle. There you go, it's a wattle. See, obviously I'm not the gardener, so it's God. So to get the best out of each vine, we have to cut it back quite severely. But, to produce the best wine, we need to produce that fruit so we can produce good drink. So everyone can enjoy it, because everyone enjoys good wine. Amen? Amen. Amen. All you younger guys, all the other guys can say, yes, we enjoy the good wine. So, but anyway, my point one being, if you want to produce better fruit than you are now, you're going to have to be pruned. Whether you like it or not,
yeah.
If you want to produce better stuff, you're going to go through some stuff that's going to hurt it a little.
That's right.
You're going to have to be trimmed away,
yeah.
Cut it back, reshaped,
yeah.
So you can produce the best fruit, so you can
that's good,
do the best that you can, but so you can produce the best that you possibly can.
Yeah.
So that's the sort of thing over quality over quantity. Like I said, if we'd left it like that, it probably would have produced fruit anyway. Like, it definitely would have produced fruit. Like I said, it would have been lots of small little clumps, lots of small little ones, and the acidity and stuff would have been higher, and just all little bits and pieces, and it would have produced worse wine. But you want to get the quality rather than the quantity. For example, Tassie wine industry, I bet you don't know this one, guys, but we produce just 0.1% of all Australia's wine. Just 0.1%, so just an absolute tiny little amount. But we produce 10% of Australia's best wines.
Yeah, right.
Very good.
That's quality over quantity. Go Tassie. That's what I like to say, you know? And likewise, if you want to produce better quality, not just heaps of cask wine, but some good bottles of Moët Chandon, or Puddle Duck Vineyard that I work for, go down there, it's good. Then you're going to have to get pruned, trimmed back, let the garden have a go at you.
Yeah.
Point two. The problem occurred due to water flow problems. So get a good watering system. Alright, so one other thing I've been doing was I've had to re-pull out all the watering system and then drag them all the way back down the row and then clip them all onto this little wire so that all drip nicely down onto each vine. Which was a lot of effort and a lot of work, but you need a good watering system. Why? Because like the psalmist, he put his hope in the word, in the promises of God. And likewise for us, we've got a whole book of them. They had these massive stone tablets, so it was a bit harder for them to break into it and go, yeah, look at the promises of God and look what he's saying to me, sort of thing. But we are so blessed here that we can, I've got like 3 or 4 Bibles at home and I can just like easily just open one straight up and no worries, just have a read of it. But you need to get a good watering system in your life. You need to drink from the word daily because that, you know, we're the vines.
Yeah, that's good.
Great. And we need the water to keep us being healthy and strong. So if at the moment you're finding it hard to read your word or read your Bible or you're not even a Christian, then get into it because truly this stuff is gold. Like in Psalm 119, like some of the other verses that he says is, your word is sweeter than honey on my tongue. Your word is greater to me than riches, than silver and gold. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Like the psalmist, like I said, had this revelation of just how important the promises and word of God are. And we just really need to, if you're struggling with that, I just pray you receive a fresh revelation of that tonight.
Good, Dan.
Seriously, you need to drink from it daily. Point three. Once pruned, we have to tie the vines back onto the wire. Now, this is probably the most, I know if I just had that much stuff cut off me, the thing I would hate the most would then be for someone to grab me, and this is what happens if I grab that one. Oh, you threw them out, didn't you? Don't worry. If you grab that main rootstock sort of one, again, with that main little single branch firmly in the soil, then you've got a wire up here. The worst thing I'd want is for someone then to grab me and twist me around the wire and then grab a little rope and tie me off. So it's like you've just had all your arms cut off and then all of a sudden you have someone just have the consideration is to grab you by the scruff of the neck and twist you around and tie you off and lock you to it. Like seriously, that's not what you want.
Yeah.
But it's the best thing. You've got to let the gardener, God, tie you down. So the reason is the church is here for a reason, because I see that like the vineyard rope, like the wire stringing along it. That's sort of like, that's the structure. And we're the vines, and we've got to get tied into that structure at times. Yeah, and sometimes you don't want to be because you've just had all your limbs cut off. But if you really want to flourish and really want to grow healthy and strong and bear fruit with all the other vines and with all your friends and with all those good and lovely people in your life, then you're going to have to let the gardener twist you around and tie you back into the structure.
Yeah.
Back into the church. Because God is for the local church. Christ would not have died for it if he was not for it.
Yeah, that's right. That's
seriously, right. If he had a better idea, he wouldn't have bothered with the church. Yeah. The church wouldn't be here if he had a better idea.
Yeah, very good, Dan.
God is for the local church.
Yeah, that's great.
Right.
So let the gardener, if you feel like you've just been in a season of hardship and suffering, in a season of trial and tribulations, place your hope in the promises and word of God and allow him to twist you back, or even though it hurts, back into fellowship, back into community with everyone else, with all the other vines.
That's right.
Produce fruit together.
Very good.
Proverbs 29:18, I've already said this one, but when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the Lord is joyful. The gardener, our God, wants us in the body alongside one another like a vineyard, bearing good crops so we can produce good wine.
Yeah.
So don't grow wild. You know, one vine on its own can produce grapes, but it can't produce much. Probably won't even produce half a bottle. So it's just worthless. But if you place your hope in the Word of God,
it's good.
And allow it to water you. You place your hope in the gardener, because he knows what he's doing. He doesn't make mistakes. When he's pruning you, he's doing it perfectly. I make mistakes. I cut some live vines every now and then and rip them out of the ground and go, oops. God doesn't do that. He does it perfectly every time. So though you feel like you've been cut away, he does it perfect every time. So place your hope in the gardener, in our God. Place your hope in the during hardship in the promises of God. Because God wants you to prosper. He wants you to bear the best fruit you can. So let him prune you. Like I said, do not grow wild. Place your hope in the vineyard. Let God, our gardener, tie you back down into the structure so that you're alongside the other vines.
Yeah.
And together as we live life in the body and community, in the vineyard together, abiding in Christ will bear much fruit.
That's
because the harvest is ripe.
Yeah, very good.
And together, let us make good wine. Because when you put all our grapes together, when you put all the fruit in the same, or in this case, a wine press, you can produce some good stuff. So come on, let's work together, live together. Like, that's the point of life groups. That's the point of having Sunday services. That's the point of having just catching up with people for no reason and just doing life together. Because we want to live life together, so together we can produce some good quality stuff, not just a massive quantity of stuff, but some good quality stuff. So together we can glorify the Lord. Together we can abide in Him. Together we can stand as one, stand strong and encourage one another. As Hebrews 10:23, which we talked about earlier, you know, further on it says, continue to encourage each other, do not forsake the gathering of worship, but gather together and spur each other on.
Yeah.
That's what you've got to do. You've got to get in life together and spur each other on and encourage one another.
Very good.
So if the worship team comes up, we'll just close in prayer, and then Pastor Dave will come up, and then we're going to have some fellowship. We're going to eat together.
Right.
I don't know if we're going to drink any wine together. Did anyone bring any? I'm thirsty. Nah. Got water. Water's good. Water and wine. Just give faith some miracles. I find that amusing. So seriously, I find that amusing that Jesus' first miracle was for a party and it was turning water into wine. I think it's great. Like, he has a sense of humour, I think. And he enjoys a party. So let's all fellowship together. Let's eat some good food together. I'm pretty sure Stevie's cooked up a storm, so I'm looking forward to it. So, yeah, I'll just pray. Father God, I just thank you for the word spoken tonight, Lord. And I just pray that that we place our hope in your word, God. We place our hope in you, God. We trust you. Commit everything we do to you, God. We thank you that you are our help. You are our provider. You are our strength, God. So, God, I just pray that for anyone here that doesn't really know you, God, that they would just...